Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. There are many pictures, portraits of Jesus as a shepherd in a field of green with a staff in his hand, surrounded by sheep, by lambs. There's one there in the back on the wall. You can find many others. You've seen many others. What a comforting picture this is, comforting images to those who know Jesus as Lord, as shepherd. The peace and tranquility of these pictures, the peace and tranquility of the sheep being shepherded by their shepherd, no matter what trials and afflictions you face, no matter how wicked this old world becomes around you, these images of peace and tranquility bring a sigh of relief to the Christian heart. To come back to this biblical truth and hear Jesus as he declares, "I am the good shepherd." You heard Ezekiel prophesy about the shepherding that this good shepherd would do and still does in the first lesson today. How he himself would come as the divine shepherd of the sheep. And you heard God make several promises there of the kind of shepherding that the shepherd does. He says, "I will seek out my sheep. I will deliver them. I will gather them and bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel in good pasture. I will bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick." He also promises there in Ezekiel to strike down the fat and the strong, those sheep that don't really need a shepherd or think they don't. But we won't focus on them today. We'll focus on the shepherding that Jesus does of the broken sheep, the sick sheep, the hungry sheep, those who have been broken down by the law, made to know their sin, and need a shepherd, and know their need. That promise, that prophecy that Ezekiel gives, describes the office and the work of Christ, the Good Shepherd, which he also discussed in today's gospel. But is it describing the shepherding Jesus did when he came to earth? Or is it describing the shepherding that he does now in this New Testament period between his ascension and his coming again? Or is it describing the green pastures of heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, when Christ comes again and the shepherding he'll do at that time? In fact, it's describing all three. All three times, all three periods of Jesus' shepherding. Let's consider those three times of the shepherding of the Good Shepherd for a moment. When God came to earth in the person of his Son, he came for a purpose. He came, as he said in his own words, to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to seek out the good people of the world, the fine, decent people of the world, and it's a good thing because he wouldn't have found any. He came to seek and to save sinners, the broken sheep, the sick sheep, lost and condemned sinners who couldn't lift a finger to save themselves. Like a shepherd who goes out looking for lost sheep who have been scattered in a dark place. He came to seek and to deliver them, to gather them, to feed them, to bind them up and strengthen them. How did he do that? The gospel shows us how Jesus went around preaching to all, to the prostitutes and to the priests, that they should repent of their sin and turn to God For God had come to earth to deliver them, gather them, feed them, bind them up, and strengthen them. How? By promising them forgiveness and eternal life. First, he preached it. Then, when he came to earth, he earned it. The shepherd earned forgiveness for the wandering sheep. He says in the gospel, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Sin, death, and the devil were like a wolf that threatened to pounce on sinners and destroy and devour them forever. But then came along the good shepherd, who placed himself between the sinners and the wolf and allowed himself to be killed in order to set the sinners free. That's that other image of the shepherd with the sheep you shouldn't forget. That's the one I put on the bulletin cover, the insert covered today. The shepherd facing the wolf for the sheep. And that is the message of the cross. That Christ the shepherd died for sin once for all, to cleanse your record from sin, to make you holy, to bring you to God. Because he willingly laid down his life, the righteous for the unrighteous, we rightly call this shepherd good. But he also took up his life again, as he promised he would, and that's why we celebrate Jesus as shepherd so close to Easter. We do not come together on Sundays to honor the memory of a Savior who only died. As a dead shepherd, Jesus could serve us in no way whatsoever. A dead shepherd is of no use to anyone. No, we worship him who died and rose again. We worship him who lives and breathes and shepherds us still. Christ's suffering, his sacrifice for sin, is over and done and never needs to be repeated by him or by anyone else. But his office as shepherd, that continues for all eternity, including during this time, this New Testament time. As Jesus said in the gospel, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. I will bring them. They will hear my voice," Jesus says. But how? Christ has ascended to heaven. The first time, the first period of his coming and shepherding is done. He isn't among us in the same way he walked among his disciples. That time is over, and yet he still promises, "They will hear my voice." He is still the good shepherd in this time in which we live, from the time of his ascension until the time he comes again. How is his voice heard? Through the ministry of word and sacrament that he instituted. St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, "When Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." There is no other way in which people, since the time of Christ's ascension, hear the voice of Christ. No one should dare say, "I have Christ as my shepherd in my heart, so I don't need to go to church or listen to the shepherds he provides," that is, the pastors, ministers of the word. There is no such thing as a stay-at-home Christian. That is, a Christian who willingly and regularly chooses to stay at home when he or she has the option to hear the pure word of Christ and receive the sacraments of Christ. Now, some are bound to their homes by illness or infirmity or inability to get to a place where the pure word is preached. Some don't know where the pure word of Christ is preached. But many people want to consider themselves Christians who simply choose on a regular basis to stay away from the voice of Christ in word and sacrament. But believers in Christ don't do that. Such people are not true Christians. Christ, the Good Shepherd, speaks. He speaks in the ministry of the gospel that he gave, and his sheep hear his voice. He does this through the gospel, this shepherding that Ezekiel talked about. All the same things that Ezekiel talked about, he still does in this New Testament period. He seeks the lost sheep. He seeks sinners who have strayed from him, who are living in sin. He seeks them in every nation, every tribe, every language, and every people. He seeks them by putting his gospel out into the world, where and when it pleases him, where and when he knows there are sheep to be found. So the fact that you are hearing his gospel today is evidence that the Good Shepherd has sent it to you today to seek and to find. He also delivers, as Ezekiel says, in holy baptism. He delivered you from sin, death, and the devil, and made you his own, brought you into his flock. There he rescued you in your baptism from the jaws of the wolf and forgave you all your sins. He gathers his sheep, as Ezekiel says, into the pastures, onto the mountains of Israel, into the holy church, which is present wherever his pure word is preached and his sacraments are rightly administered. In that word, he still sets himself before you as shepherd, sets himself between you and the wolf. In this Christian church, as we confess in our catechism, he daily and richly forgives all my sins to me and all believers in Christ. And he feeds his sheep, as he promised to do, with his own body and blood. And right here in the midst of the precursor to hell that surrounds us in the world and still affects our lives, our shepherd gives us a piece of heaven. He also binds up the broken and strengthens what was sick. You know how wicked this old world has become. You feel it. Your life has certainly been affected by it. You struggle daily with your own sin, and you mourn at the godlessness and the suffering that pervades our culture, our country, our world. Your brokenness, because of the sin that still clings to your flesh, is never completely fixed in this life, never completely cured. But see, the Good Shepherd is still shepherding his flock. He began to cure you at your baptism when he brought you to faith. And now he continues to tend to your wounds. He continues to lead you and guide you, even as he continues to forgive and strengthen you. You are not alone in the midst of this struggle during this New Testament time. As we say in the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This office of Christ, this seeking, delivering, gathering, feeding, and binding up, will continue throughout this time of the New Testament, even while the world crumbles around you. And then the shepherd will come at the end, at the last time, and usher in that final stage of his shepherding that lasts forever. Just when it seems that Christ's little flock, this little group of believers on earth, scattered among the nations, can't possibly endure another moment, just when it seems that the wolf is about to devour them completely, then the shepherd will come. He will seek his believers all at once, wherever they are scattered throughout the world, even those who are already scattered in their graves. He will seek and he will find. In a moment, he will deliver us from this evil old world and destroy death and the devil forever. He will gather his sheep. He will gather us into the perfect pastures of the new Jerusalem, the new Israel, the new heavens and the new earth, where no wolf will ever enter again. He will feed us with a banquet at his own table, as Jesus often promises in the Gospels, and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, from the eyes of those who have believed in him, whose faith was created and sustained until the end by the Holy Spirit through the means of grace. Then, at that time, the shepherd and the sheep will truly resemble all those portraits and pictures that we see all over the place, those portraits of peace and tranquility. Then, at that time, the words of the psalm will be truly fulfilled. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.